The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Okay, this is Winners and Sinners, where, of course, we look back on the week that was, but I suppose with a few twists as well. Now, we're delighted to be joined, as always, by Off the Ball's Ger Gilroy and Today FM's Alison Curtis. Alison, let's kick off with you, your winner of the week.
Seriously controversial, guys, but Lego. So we all knew it and loved it when we were younger. It's really matured quite a bit since then. Like, we were... I'm lumping us all into roughly the same age category.
It was pretty... Jared's getting very offended.
Like, what? Sorry. Are you the baby? You probably are.
He likes to remind me that he's a lot younger. Yes. half a generation.
You both look great for your age, though. So that's all I'm saying.
That's all that matters. But it was pretty basic when we had it. It was just blocks. And yes. Now it's like so advanced. But again, as a parent of a teenager, I'm delighted when there's an interest in something other than the phone. And my daughter has recently kind of rediscovered it. And there's so many cool ones for adults. There's a radio one, guys. It's quite pricey, though. It's like $99.99.
And are you making an actual radio?
Yeah, I'll show it to you. I know this is radio, but I'll show you a picture of it after. But it's really lovely. There's an old turntable. There's a V-Dub van. Like, all these ones that are more geared to us. But my daughter's gotten into the ones that are like houseplants and like bouquets and, you know, rock gardens and things like that. So I'm just delighted that it's back in the fold, because it was a big part of when they were younger, when we were younger. And it seems to be like just a universally loved product, really. And it doesn't matter who you are, you can enjoy it. And it's mindfulness, really. So yeah, Lego. Mm.
Jerry, were you a Lego master?
I wasn't, but Santa has brought many over the years.
Yes.
And I have other friends who have been through the whole cycle of it, and then at the end you just give it away. And yeah. It's like, you're like, whoa, that's a Santa
that's
brought a lot of that.
Okay, though, isn't it? That it's passed on.
It's great that it's passed on. It's just that it's like, that was a very
pricey
level of investment that Santa Claus made.
I think it's an investment in imagination. To me, Lego was my favorite thing when I was a kid, and so much so that my kids would all know that. So when it was my 40th birthday, my children clubbed together and bought me the Millennium Falcon.
All right.
Lego. Kira, that is the one thing I've always wanted to get my hands on.
The Millennium Falcon.
It's quite. Have it.
I have it. And they helped me make it. And I do love it. My only concern is I kind of have an old love for when it was just blocks, because I don't know if you've ever looked at the old ads for Lego from the 70s. It's like, you know, girls can make dinosaurs and out of these little yellow blocks and blue blocks that just, you know, that had no shape or form, or rocket ships, and boys can do it. I feel it's a little bit, and without wanting to go too po-faced, it's become a bit gendered, hasn't it? Like, the girl ones are little ponies and horses and flowers, and then the boy ones are the rocket ships to the moon. And that in and of itself puts a small amount of restrictions on what kids do and don't think they can do, I think. And I kind of liked it when we had blocks. Like, I would have built rocket ships. You wouldn't have known they were rocket ships by looking at them.
But you did.
But I did. Yeah. And I kind of like...
That's an interesting point.
That bit of Lego.
More just old school, more imagination
kind of,
involved.
Like, honestly, my things looked like nothing. I mostly built houses and caravans and
but the
things
houses were fun.
Yeah.
That was my favourite thing. Like, I became a little architect going, this is a pretty sturdy, structurally sound house. And it looks good too.
Yeah, you could rent that out in Dublin now for about $3,000.
At the risk, and I know people love Lego, and I know people...
No,
who,
say it.
Okay. I kind of put it up there with jigsaws and colouring books, and maybe it is because I lack imagination. Maybe it is
also great stuff. Is that what you're saying? Yeah,
I find it quite
I wouldn't
quite
be
boring.
A big puzzle, Shane. I would not like puzzles. I do not have the attention.
I wouldn't
span
be a jigsaw person either, so I wouldn't see it.
I do love Lego, and I just love that she's doing something else.
Jigsaws are perfect, but you're only making a prescribed thing, and the 3D element of Lego, I kind of...
So the new Lego, I think, is a bit more like a jigsaw, where it is actually essentially a jigsaw piece where you're following these instructions and then
really elaborate. I have built the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
Not and for me. I did that myself.
It nearly killed me.
You both have it. All right, just rub it in.
We are those people.
I wanted the same thing to happen to me as happened to Han Solo. I wanted to be put in whatever it was, ice or something, for 50 years to recover.
That was a tragedy. I cried when that happened. You take that back.
I know, and the expressions on his face.
Stop.
I mean,
he always tries to ruin Harrison Ford for me.
Why? What?
No, I can't. We have an ongoing...
He only has one acting face.
Oh.
I know.
But that line was made up when she's like, I love you. And he's like, I know.
I know.
I know.
That's the radio. I know we're on radio, but it's pretty cool, isn't it?
It's very cool.
Well, that actually looks like a radio. Does it actually?
I don't know.
No, I did. That, yeah.
Sorry.
I was kind of wondering that too, because you know the way Lego has electronics and things in it now. And it has kind
maybe
of
that's why it's
AI-ish
so
bits and stuff and everything. It's freaky. It's freaky. The worst thing about Lego is when you step on it, of course.
Oh,
of course.
Oh, so painful. So painful. Absolutely. Kira, speaking of radio, Jared's winner.
Yeah, tell us your winner.
So my winner is actually Irish music.
Shane does love a good segue, I have to say.
So Today FM have their countdown of the top 100 Irish songs of all time. It's wall to wall today, and it's over the whole next week, and then the winner's going to be crowned next Friday. I think you're all doing it, keeping wheelings. But I was in the taxi on the way in this morning, and the driver was a man in his mid to late 70s who had the radio full, and he was loving it. And it was like, you know, we are in a bit of a sweet spot for Irish music at the moment. Yeah. But this is the history of it. I think probably we've got away from playing Irish music a lot. And I think we're coming back to that.
Oh, I think we are.
You know, as for whatever reason, we kind of stop liking ourselves, or we're like, it's not cool to like stuff that's part of our past. I don't know, is it a post-COVID thing? We're like, actually, you know, we had loads of
great
stuff.
Well, it's also the kids are driving it.
Yeah.
They don't have any of the hang-ups that maybe our generation had, and certainly my parents' generation had, where I think my parents' generation thought Irish stuff was kind of inferior. My kids do not think that. They are really
but
strong.
But look at
about
that wave roots. That's come through. The Fontaines, C-Mat, Amble, Kingfisher, Kneecap. There are cool Irish bands that have broken through that are like respected in the UK and beyond our shores.
Yeah.
And the kids are loving them. They're some of their favourite bands. I think that's
there
a
is an exposure
really
right
good
now.
Thing.
But when I started in radio and had an alternative music show on Today FM, there was plenty around. And some of those are turning up in the top 100, which is obviously Bellix One, Damien Rice, all of that kind of stuff. And then you had another wave, which was Picture This, Codaline, Coronas. And so it's always been there.
You had a wave before that, after you too. Like, something happens and all those bands are house. And
it's always been there. Like, it's Irish music scene has always punched well above its weight on a global scale. And now we're celebrating it as we should be, which is excellent.
Yeah, so C-Mat won the Choice Awards, which was on in Vicar Street last night. And the Irish Times today had a 5-star review of the latest Kneecap album. That self-confidence is really interesting to see. And I think that, like, having our own bespoke particular culture is incredibly important.
Yeah.
Isn't it mad as the world gets smaller and more homogenous? I mean, one thing that struck me watching the kids in Iran on the streets protesting is they all looked like my kids, and they were dressed the same way. So the world in some ways is much more homogenous. And yet I think because kids look to their local area and their own country. And I think that maybe that's to be a point of difference or something.
Not to be too arch about this whole thing, but like there's a generation that are becoming completely disassociated from politics, who are fertile breeding ground for bad actors. And I think the more that we are embracing our own culture and the more we immerse ourselves in it, the harder it is for those bad actors to go, actually, you know what, I can whip you up into a fever and a frenzy. And I think that we underplay the role of culture and sports. You know,
I think the Iran community thing is very interesting, because certainly from the point of view of the women, and there are young women protesting in Iran, they're only in those clothes when they take off the burqas and the hijabs that they are burning in the streets by way of protest, which is actually an act of bravery. And I think they want to wear the Western-y typey clothes, if you want to call them that, because they want to say, no, we want to choose our path. I think it's really interesting. In just a little side thing, because I love the Today FM thing too, my young fella did the TY experience with Today FM last week. So he is reading a link for one of songs.
And I do think he might be on my very program.
Really? Because I don't know when he's on.
Yeah.
I think it's Chasing Cars. Snow Patrol is his song.
I think so.
They had to look up about the band, they had to look about the song, and then they had to design a little link and it's going to go out.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really excited for him.
I'll text you when it goes out.
Oh, Alison, please. I might even try and get a recording of it, because it would just be fun.
Yeah.
We have to ask, did you have to pick your one song for it? Like, did you have to? Because we were asked.
I was asked,
one.
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't make the cut.
I was asked and I said Teenage Kicks by The Undertones.
That was my number two.
Ooh.
Dreams Cranberries was my first.
Very good.
What did you say?
I picked Phil Lynott, Old Town.
Also brilliant.
I think that's already been played. I think that's in the 80s.
I don't know, it's something about that song. Every time I hear it, it actually makes me cry. I don't know what it is.
It's amazing.
It's
a good
really,
song.
Yeah. The Owl, Covent Garden, I remember only too well. Anyway.
We might take a short break. Are we taking a short break? We are not taking a short break. What are we doing? Okay, we are...
We're going to the news headlines. Here's Eamon.
I'm very welcome back to Winners and Sinners with Ger Gilroy of Off the Ball and Alison Curtis of Today FM. I'll come to you. What is your sinner this week, Ger?
So, this is a very partially baked, fresh out of the oven theory. You're going to have to bear with me. And
my favourite kind of theory.
I realise it may sound like a mad conspiracy, but I just am a bit concerned about the level of nostalgia that is being force-fed everybody on their algorithm. I just wonder what the end point of us constantly wishing our lives back to the 70s, 80s, 90s, and this false sense of somehow everything was better. There's a...
Are you saying nostalgia isn't what it used to be?
Do you have an example? Because I'm not sure I'm being fed nostalgia. Everyone's algorithm is individual.
It's true, yes. But the football at the moment, there's just this like, oh, football's terrible now. It used to be much better. And I find a bit of that, and if there's a bit of TV, you'll get like clips from comedy intro songs to like Murder, She Wrote, Cagney and Lacey.
Yeah.
All great stuff, right?
Brilliant. I mean, when you look back at the TV schedule from 30 years ago, it was not great. Like
there was one program a night that you might be able to watch, and then the rest of it was terrible.
Music as well is another one. People say, oh, music isn't what it's like in my day or whatever.
Yeah, that could be kind of true though, right?
I don't know. I think...
Would you, like, if you compare In Excess or a Blondie track or anything from, like, 90s to, no offence, and I hope she's not tuned in today, Dua Lipa, you cannot... All of her songs actually
are
retro...
Are you comparing like with like? I mean, I think every era has its bangers and every era has its
I would agree
stuff.
With you. I think it's good that music changes, and I think it's good that there are eras.
You know what I don't like is the fact that everything is extremely short now, and it makes bathroom breaks tricky. Basically,
really,
that's a very individualistic problem.
Under 3 minutes now.
You'd never get Stairway to Heaven now.
No. That would be perfect.
Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't think I have your... I'm very interested because I don't think I'm getting this on my algorithm. So is it possible, for example, do you remember last week in Winners and Sinners, you were saying that you were going back and looking at old movies and stuff. Well, so have you created this monster, do you think?
No, because I think the old movies is actually discovering stuff for the first time, as opposed to, like, I don't think that we should be going back to the 50s Hollywood golden era when I'm watching those. I feel like there's just this massive impetus to talk about how the past was great. And I don't think it's a massive leap from there for those politicians that I was talking about earlier to come and say, well, I can bring you back there. You know, just vote for me. And that was before all the strange
people. Make America great again.
Exactly. Before the strange people who you don't recognise, who don't sound like you and look like you. And I just feel like there's...
You think it's as nefarious as that?
I wonder, are we feeding it the beast ourselves, or if there's actually... You know, I just make everybody think that life was much better in the past.
Well, it's because there's a control thing too, isn't there? So it's happened and is done now, and the impact it's had on us is whatever. Like, we were able to ride our bikes wherever we wanted as children, and, you know, play with like pencils in school that we didn't know, iPads and all that kind of stuff. But we have no control over the future. Is that what it is, partly, as well?
Potentially. Yeah. A sense of a loss of control.
Yeah.
Is it also just that when you get older, you inevitably look back at your younger years.
With rosy-tinted
glasses. You don't remember that.
I mean, come on, guys. The 80s were good. I'm going to stand by the 80s. The 90s.
Were they?
As someone who grew up in Ireland in the 80s, there was certainly good things. Yeah. But there was also...
AIDS and poverty and homophobia.
Sorry, I'm coming from the... I was in college. We couldn't get contraception. Yeah, there was a few things.
Why we always do this when we talk about other eras, we look back and judge it by today's, like, there was loads of brilliant things.
There was good things.
There was loads of, and we weren't like, this is, we weren't going around miserable and stuff. You know, we actually had a good time back in the 80s. And
you used your creativity. Yeah.
You know what? There was not good things. But they're not good things about society. Like, the fact that every kid, when you go into a bar now, kids are looking at screens the whole time. That's not good.
It was always ever thus. Do you know what I mean? Like that there was good and bad then, there's good and bad now.
That's true, right? It's not actually, I don't think, just our age groups, plural, who are having this. Like I see people who are in their 30s being totally driven by nostalgia and you're like, you know, life is today. Life is happening right now.
Isn't nostalgia a comfort blanket for people? And if you are in your 30s now, you're probably struggling to buy a house and find, you know, the dating scene is apparently horrendous and there's all sorts of things. Maybe a bit of nostalgia gives you the warm fuzzies. It's like watching Modern Family on TV. Do you know what I mean? Like it gives you a feeling
you go back to something
of
that
safety
gives you
and security and happiness that maybe the real world in times of challenge doesn't have.
In small doses, that's great, right? Because it's a release or an escape or a pocket of something. But it just feels like there's a perma culture that's coming where nothing new is happening. Everything is feeding back. And in the middle of it all, the growing hubbub of noise is that it used to be better and you've missed out.
Oh my God, a sense of Black Mirror episode coming on.
You need to get angry about this. Yeah. And I just, that's my half-baked theory. As I told you, it's not fully formed.
My algorithm is mostly people making cakes and then other things saying you can lose weight by so that I'm being hit on both sides. Like, eat more, cook more, and then you fat cow, basically. Yeah. And it's actually very
but don't
alarming,
worry, Kira,
the whole
your
thing.
Your phone is here now. Your algorithm's going to change to the 80s. Yes. It's listening to you
but
now.
But I'm kind of going, what? This is like some kind of perpetuating sort of self-abuse algorithm I'm getting.
I'm presuming, like, this isn't a... And you're not suggesting it's a conspiracy theory, but... And obviously, these feeds are happening because people like them and they like that.
Yeah.
But there is a danger that it will be manipulated.
Totally, yeah. And I think that... you know, it'd be really easy to package up that audience. Find me the people who are born between this era and this era who like these things, and then you hit them with your political ads if you wanted to. Like, you know, I do believe the Cambridge Analytica story. That all happened.
Statistically, we become more conservative as we get older. We're more liberal as we're younger, and that might be a reflection of what you're. Do you know what I mean? What you're seeing that is. The trajectory, not everybody, of course, these are gross generalizations, but that is the political trajectory that people take.
Alison, who has sinned this week?
I know,
for you?
We were having fun, guys, and now I'm going to mention this. So International Women's Day is on Sunday, and I still see quite often, and maybe more so now in recent years, going, is there a need for this still? Like, why are we doing this
still? Is there a need for... I'm only joking.
So just some lovely Friday statistics. Do you want those? Is this going to be good? The gender pay gap is still at around 20% globally. So women earning less and earning less per hour of work. So working for free, basically. Obviously, there is a violence issue. So there's lots of things that within our lifetime will still probably, unfortunately, not be solved. So I think it is a good day to reflect on that and to kind of, you know, look forward to your own kind of individual.
Do you think there is a lot of pushback on International Women's Day?
There has been, yeah. And I think it's growing a little bit more as in we, through this toxic masculinity and, you know, younger people being influenced by kind of tying in with what you just said as well. You know, people whose views are polarizing and they're going, out, this guy is speaking, you know, truth here, and women and men are fundamentally very different, and there's an imbalance that we should be upholding, all that kind of stuff. So I do think it's a good day to kind of go, yeah, let's just reflect on this, and how can we in our immediate circles, to the betterment of ourselves as women and other women in our lives, what can we do?
Interesting. Do you, I can't call you boys, it's probably very derogatory. Do you men have an opinion?
Sure.
Shane passed that as fast as he could. There you go.
The Dublin Rape Crisis Centre have a masculinity project ongoing at the moment, and I've been in a couple of the meetings with them about it. You're sitting listening to people talking about the issues, and it's so difficult to actually begin to address, to have a conversation with it where you're asking. Now, this is International Women's Day, and I don't want to be hijacking that conversation, but you're asking men to come and have conversations about why these problems persist. And, you know, it's a naughty L subject when you start getting into it.
Yeah, it is. And all of us have daughters, don't we? Yes.
Yep.
So we do, I do listen in on her conversations sometimes and listen to kind of even, you know, language that's being used to describe people and is it different between boys and girls and just watching the dynamics. Because I do think, and I'm going back to the Canadian thing, I'm being a bit of a utopia, we did in our high school have like all of our boyfriends want to do women's studies with us. We, you know, there was a lot of gender fluidity and there was a guy called Lance that was king of the castle, and that just wouldn't happen, I've been told, from my peers the same age as me in Ireland. that, like, you know, a guy who, a gay guy basically was the king and we all wanted to be part of his like group. So it was a little bit of a, and there was the 90s Riot Girls and all these women to look up to in music. So I think that was going on. And so my view is a little bit different, maybe.
I remain stubbornly hopeful about all of these things because to me, it's a bit like what you said about the nostalgia. I think there will always be one step forward, two steps back, or hopefully two steps forward, one step back. Mm. That's how humans, I don't mean evolve in the true sense of evolution. I mean how society and mores and all of that kind of, or mores, as Terry Pone will now text me to say, because she says, you're always pronouncing that wrong. How they kind of form. And I do think that there is a cycle between liberal and conservative. And I think there is a cycle between, you know, progressivism and a clawback and all of that. I think there's a value in International Women's Day. I haven't seen a huge amount of pushback on it. I still think there's a value. I choose in my head not to adopt a mentality as a woman of victimhood whilst remembering and understanding the challenges that women face very commonly outside of Ireland. I mean, there's gender apartheid in Afghanistan that is brutal and oppressive. And we just mentioned the women of Iran tearing off their hijabs. By the way, I'm not knocking the hijab, but I'm saying you should not be forced to wear it. If you choose to, that's your own affair.
Yeah, of course, it's all about choice.
I'm not trying to impose that on anybody, but the point is if you don't want to wear it, you shouldn't be beaten for it.
How much choice, and this is what I worry about, and this is why I'm kind of more with you, Alison, how much choice do young women have today in the West? And I really worry about the pornification of society, and I really worry about the pressure that puts on young women in particular. And that's not choice.
And I
think there is an element of we take two steps forward and then in a different direction we take two steps back.
I think we have more choice now than we had. I mean, I have choices that my grandmother did not have, or that my mother did not have. That is not to say, and my daughter has some choices that I did not have. And that is not to say that there isn't pressure on those young women now.
But there are other forces that are really negative, and I think they put huge pressure on young women.
I don't believe those forces are new. I think social media and all is a new landscape that people are navigating.
Here. I think the pornification of society is new, and that is it is.
It's because
everywhere.
It's so accessible.
The ubiquity of it.
That's what it is.
Yeah, but I would also say that we have a sort of a long-standing shameful history with abuse of women and children in this country that we sweep under the carpet.
I don't get, but I'm not.
So women have always navigated a difficult landscape.
But, I think there are reasons to be worried and reasons to be concerned.
I think, again, like in the 90s, we just wore really large T-shirts and everything was fine. But like when I look at what my, like nobody knew what was underneath those T-shirts. It was totally fine. And like the diet culture hadn't been.
The pressure to have the perfect body now is.
For boys and girls.
For boys and girls. Yeah, is way more than it was.
I'm going to push back on this and say I barely know a woman of my age who grew up in a totally different era that doesn't have body image issues and that didn't go through phases of starving themselves and all of that kind of business.
I think there was way less emphasis on bodies 30, 40 years ago.
I went on my first diet when I was 12.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I think there was way less emphasis.
I think we hear more about it now. I was a teenage girl in the 80s and everyone I knew was dieting almost all the time. And that's just how it was.
I think it was particularly
bad. We had ads on the telly going, if you can pinch more than an inch.
Yeah.
We had heroin chic, so that was basically people starving themselves. Right. I'm not dismissing what they're going through now. I'm saying we talk about it now, but being an adolescent girl.
We didn't have algorithms that drove you towards those things, which we do now. I think it's scarier.
I wasn't aware of myself the way my daughter was, for sure, because I wasn't looking back on myself the way that they are.
All right, listen,
this is definitely a sinner. I'm with you.
We better take a quick break. Alison and Jarrett are staying with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, Ger, what else have you got for the pot this week?
So a lot of talk this week about Netflix, who originally won the bid for Warner Brothers and then were outbid by Paramount this week. The Warner Brothers movie lot, which I know from Animaniacs, that's when I first kind of became aware of it. They're going to sell, that might be up for sale. So loads of iconic stuff is happening. Ultimately for us, I think it means that we're going to get one source of loads of good quality stuff. I mean, Amazon obviously own MGM, which is where I've been watching all these old movies that I've been talking to you about.
Yeah.
Next one on the list is Barefoot Contessa. Very, very good. And it's one source and it's whatever price that is a month, and you have consolidation might be good for the consumer.
Because that's how it usually
works. I know you're not supposed to say this.
That has been proven.
Interesting.
Not great for Hollywood, apparently, in terms of creativity, but look at the rubbish they're making anyway. Who needs 25 more new superhero movies? Oh, it's the universe of this thing.
The superhero movies does seem to have, I don't mean gone away exactly, but
quieted.
Do you remember when it was the only thing that was coming out for a while?
Yeah, yeah. That was. I hope that was connected to the writer's strike and that anybody could write that, but like... you're not allowed to say this.
There's one or two good ones. Thor.
It just never appealed to
Ragnarok.
Me. Yeah.
No. Never seen
I'm on my own in that one. Yeah, that is interesting.
So you think this could be a good thing?
Well, the Amazon MGM thing is class because you can go back and discover cinema history and the algorithm works really well there. It serves you. Oh, you like that? You like this? I'm like, that's all. That's what the algorithm should be for. Give me more of that good stuff.
Less nostalgia.
I'm kind of wondering, is it working the other way around as well? And you're just not ready to
admit it.
Acknowledge it. Yes. Sorry, Jeremy.
I'm turning into far right. Is that it? It's like slowly.
It knows what you want before you know.
You're
it.
The least likely person I know to turn.
Yes, far right. I think that would probably be entirely true.
Alison, what's in the pot for you?
Solo parenting, total nod to anyone. And I'm saying this from a position of having then the ratio 1-to-1, not, you know, multiples. My husband was away touring in France this past week and I'm tired and she's not young
hard.
Either. Like, she's not a baby. She's 14. It was more the dog that caused the problem for me this week, just needing all the attention. But it's just thinking of everything. He actually sent me a note to say, take the bins out. That's the level of
man job,
you know.
Yeah,
yeah. The level
dad
of kind
job.
Of codependency I have, and so yeah, I was really, and I found myself more anxious than I thought I would be because you just think that if something
it's the
does go wrong,
the mental workload.
Yeah,
it's not
if something
just
does go wrong. I'm like
probably doing marginally more, like in terms of tasks.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're carrying it on your
like
own,
it, guys. I just didn't like it. So my hat off to people who do it permanently, and there are people who do it day in and day out for years and years and years. I do not know how they manage, and with more than one child as well.
It's
so
difficult. You know what's really funny? You know when your other half gets sick and you start off being really sympathetic and you're really looking
and then you poke them, are you better yet?
And then like after about 3 days you're kind of going
blame.
Surely you're feeling better by now.
Yeah, you must be feeling better. Yeah. Are you?
You don't have a temperature.
You start doing things like, you look great. You look really well. Yeah, you look fine.
Definitely maybe improving. It'd be a good thing if you got up and had a shower. And you'd probably feel better.
Fresh air.
Take the dog
anyway,
for a bloody
hat
walk.
Off, yeah. Totally, because it's, yeah, it was
I do think that mental workload thing is
draining.
Real.
Yeah.
Because you're carrying it on your own. Yeah. And it's remembering everything, but it's also that feeling of ultimate responsibility.
I just felt like I was on the back foot for the entire day. Like, whereas before I didn't feel that way when he's
around.
It's
proper adulting, isn't it?
Yeah, and
it's
I'm not like, very good at it.
Well,
so.
I'm not sure that any of us are really cut out for it. Jer,
as dads, do we outsource a lot of that to
I mean,
to
why
the,
are you exposing us on the radio on a Friday evening?
Jer is smiling
yes,
broadly
do.
Here.
do we outsource it? No, we don't. That
I don't think you do. You're modern dads.
We're supposed to be.
Definitely my wife takes on more of the mental load. And she it always drives her mad. Like literally that one of the kids would be downstairs beside me and they'd be roaring upstairs asking a question. And Eva's going, your dad is right beside you. Why don't you ask him? And they're like, there's no point in asking him. He's useless, like, basically.
Learned helplessness. That's what that's
on
called.
On International Women's
yes.
Day week.
Well, yeah. You know, yes. Sometimes it's passed on helplessness. I'm not allowed to do the stuff with the washing machine for fear of mixing up one thing with another. I'm like, there's good. The way this works is if actually I get better at it, I'll be able to take more responsibility for it. But there will be casualties along the way.
I have learned this week there is a thing you can put into the washing machine that actually stops the things running into each other.
Right.
I've only learned that this
week. A colour grab sheet, is it? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but yes.
Does it really work?
I haven't a clue. It worked on the two washes I did this week, but
well,
I could
go.
Be
well
pot
done.
Luck.
You know what? In fairness to you both,
what you said is true. Sometimes we go, oh, they do nothing. But then when they go to do something, we go, oh, don't do it like that, I'll do it. And that's a thing too.
I have to be really honest, my household operates, I think, completely different. And as in, I was like, what do I do now that you're gone? Like, he runs the household, definitely.
Yeah. I think that's no harm whatsoever.
I'm the fun.
You bring good. The fun. I like good. It.
Okay.
Famously in my house, one of my kids' friends was over and spilled like a load of Doritos or something all over the floor and came to me and said, sorry, Kira, I'll tidy it up. I've spilled all the... Where do you keep your Hoover? And I went, I don't know.
I do. I have to say,
And Shane knows that's true.
I do all the Hoovering in our house. Ev does. Never.
I do the cooking, which I think is...
And you're a good cook.
And sorry, the mental load of coming up with what's for dinner tonight...
That is the hardest part of adulting of all.
There you go. So as a result of that...
Dinner's forever for the rest of
As a result of
life.
That, I feel like...
I'm just saying, even when your kids are adults, they still ask you what's for dinner tonight.
And there's no food in this house. On that note, guys, unfortunately... For another week, we have to leave Winners and Sinners. But we have had a great time with Alison Curtis and Jerk Girl, and we're looking forward to next Friday.
Yep, Shilla Will, Ewan, Inu, Beg May Fain, August Kira, Haranash, Iverjanta, a Cahar, Day, Loon, Winnegy, Sup, Osun, Jera Shoctana.
Have a great weekend. Come on, Ireland.
The Hard Shoulder
with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric Range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.